when the place you come home to becomes a war zone, it doesn't feel good.
Nobody gives two fucks about what's going on with your house. Nobody cares if you're sick. They don't care about any of that as long as they're selling houses.
The top home builders in America are making Wall Street investors rich, but you are paying the price.
What people are willing to do frightens me in the name of profit.
Companies like D.R. Horton, Lennar, and Pulte are the largest home builders in America.
Hey, don't buy that D.R. Horton house.
When we first bought the home 2 months later, our son's playroom was covered in mold.
This has been the biggest nightmare of my entire life, and I wouldn't wish this on anybody.
Not only have these home builders been building worse homes, but they've also been playing a role in raising the prices of homes across the country.
The housing market is actually seeing the highest, most expensive homes in more than decades.
As home builders have pushed prices out of reach for many buyers, they've also created a new dystopian model. Build entire communities to sell directly to Wall Street landlords.
You'll own nothing and be happy.
The question for us now is, are we going to allow that to happen?
To understand how Wall Street has been slowly killing the single family home, I went to Texas to investigate the biggest home builder in America, D.R. Horton. What I found not only explains why many Americans can't buy homes until their 40s, but also serves as a warning for what's to come. D.R. Horton currently builds about one out of every seven new homes in America. And last year, they made $4.4 billion for their shareholders. That market dominance gives D.R. Horton the power to dictate how homes are priced and sold through five tactics that maximize their profit while pushing the cost onto you. The first tactic, incentivize. In 2023, Sarah and Eric Munoz bought a D.R. Horton home in San Antonio. And at first, it looked like a great deal.
When we came across the D.R. Horton home, the model looked good. It seemed like a slam dunk.
One of the things that the salesman did push was we'll be able to give you these discounts and, you know, special perks like the fridge or the washer and dryer.
All those enticing incentives are par for the course with D.R. Horton.
Incredible pricing, incredible incentives.
For D.R. Horton, of course we're going to pay up to $10,000 in closing costs.
You could have a mortgage payment of $1,950 a month versus $2,250 a month.
Last year, 81% of all D.R. Horton home sales went through their own mortgage department, which has access to cheaper Wall Street capital than most lenders. But this sleight of hand is actually inflating home prices across the market. Stay with me while we do some math. For a $2,000 monthly payment at 6% interest, you can probably get a home in the $300,000 range. But if you get a 4% rate from D.R. Horton, you may be able to get a house that's in the $400,000 range. These incentives seem like a good deal for buyers, and shareholders love them too.
Can you discuss what you're seeing in the market in terms of home prices?
We focus predominantly on incentives where we can, and that's allowed us to maintain a lot of our base pricing across the country.
To translate that corporate speak, because of their incentives, D.R. Horton can keep home prices higher than they actually are. Then those inflated numbers enter real estate databases and can push home prices higher, even beyond D.R. Horton's own subdivisions. In response to my reporting, D.R. Horton said that these mortgage incentives make monthly payments more manageable for buyers, but did not answer my question about maintaining their base prices. And as home buyers are paying more, they are often getting homes that are made as cheaply as possible, which brings us to tactic number two, cut costs.
The home definitely had some issues right off the bat. The frame of the home was kind of set up like Jenga.
It basically just moved freely, which was horrific, because in my mind, I was like, oh, a gust of wind is taking this whole thing down.
The frame of the Munoz's home is bad, but it gets worse.
Buy a D.R. Horton house, they said.
I don't know if you can tell. That's mold.
Oh, it's everywhere!
You're on your third shower replacement due to leaks and mold.
Over here, we've got the world's biggest crack in my foundation.
It's a D.R. Horton house.
Not only are some of these houses poorly built, but they are actually making people sick.
There's mold everywhere. I mean, that whole thing is just like riddled with mold. And my daughter had these nosebleeds that were so bad, she had blood tears, which was absolutely terrifying and insane. Never seen anybody have blood come out of their eyes unless they're having a literal aneurysm. It's really fun to have your six-year-old ask you if they're going to die, and you legitimately don't have an answer for them because you don't know what the hell's going on.
After speaking with homeowners like Madeline, I asked D.R. Horton to comment on these recurring mold issues. They responded that they stand behind their homes with comprehensive warranties and a dedicated customer care team. It seems like it would be bad business to construct homes that make your clients sick, but that hasn't been the case for D.R. Horton. Last year, they spent $194 million on home repairs and litigation costs. That's a lot of money, for sure, but it's only about 4.5% of what their shareholders made in the same year.
On the stick and brick side, is there still opportunity to take more cost out? Where are you in the process of sort of clawing back some margin?
We believe there's still opportunity there.
Clawing back money to make the cheapest possible homes keeps profits high, but D.R. Horton has been using another tactic to deceive homebuyers across the country. Manipulate monthly payments. A new class action lawsuit alleges that D.R. Horton has been intentionally deceiving homebuyers about their monthly payments to sell people more expensive homes. The Munoz family experienced this firsthand. They had been paying about $1,000 a year in property taxes, and then it suddenly went up to $6,500 a year.
My mindset was, all I had to do was work a little more, maybe catch a second, third job.
I was very pregnant at the time, so it was just a lot for me to handle. I told my husband, I can't do this anymore.
It was not easy to come to the realization like we'd probably have to let go of the house that was sold to us as a dream.
The Munoz family didn't know that buried in their contract was a notice that their monthly payments could go up.
They just kept flipping papers past us and they're like, sign here, sign this, do this, and very little explanation of anything.
The Munoz's claim that the D.R. Horton agent didn't explain that the property taxes were assessed for a piece of land with no actual house on it. Then that number was built into the monthly payment to make it look like the house was within their budget, even though it wasn't.
This home that we came into in the beginning that was just picturesque, as we're loading everything up and driving away, it's just like leaving behind a nightmare in the distance.
Now plaintiffs across the country who experienced this alleged monthly payment suppression scheme are seeking RICO charges. Meanwhile, D.R. Horton and their main competitor, Lennar, are profiting from a different tactic, sell directly to investors.
This Lennar home is going to be 661 square feet. And if you go onto Lennar's new investor portal, you can see exactly how much investors can make off of a home like this.
To understand the impact of investors in these new developments, I went to a Lennar community on the outskirts of Dallas, where I met Sonia Nelson.
I was hopeful to build a nice community with neighbors, and what I found was that every single house to the left and to the right of mine are rental.
How does it make you feel that investors are buying up so many single-family homes?
It's very disappointing to me. It makes me mad, actually, because I think it's making the prices higher, artificially high, and then these communities are becoming more just rental communities.
Recently, Trump has been comparing big home builders to the oil cartel, OPEC, while pushing back on Wall Street landlords.
Homes are built for people, not for corporations, and America will not become a nation of renters. That's why I have signed an executive order banning large institutional investors from buying single-family homes.
But when I looked more closely at the executive order, there was an exemption carved out just for big home builders to keep selling entire subdivisions directly to Wall Street investors, which conveniently is the same model Bill Pulte invested in before becoming one of Trump's top housing officials.
This may look like other subdivisions, but people here can't actually buy these houses. This is something called a build-to-rent community.
Kendall Graves and his family have lived here for 4 years.
Do you eventually want to buy a house?
Yeah, that's the goal, eventually. So that's why we're here right now, so we can save up and then eventually go out and buy our own home.
How does it feel to live in a community that is owned by an investor?
It feels kind of weird, I guess. We had an issue like with our air conditioner one time. In the middle of summer, it took over like 2 weeks for them to like fix our AC. So we were like kind of displaced and went and lived at our parents' house for that time.
Now that you're thinking of buying a home, saving up, like, what kind of house would you want to get?
Not a Lennar home, I'll tell you that. Not a Lennar, or probably not a D.R. Horton, just probably go with a better builder.
Wall Street-backed home builders decimating the single-family home has actually been going on for decades, which brings me to the final tactic in their playbook, build less homes.
Home building was very different 50, 60 years ago. You didn't have just like one home builder in any community. You had multiple home builders, and they all competed against each other to build houses for people. That meant that we had plentiful housing, but things changed.
During the savings and loan crisis in the 1980s, a lot of local banks disappeared, which meant that many small home builders couldn't get loans.
But if you were a big home builder with, you know, connections to Wall Street, capital markets, you could go public and get capital that way, which they then spent not necessarily on, you know, being more efficient or building more houses, but on buying up more and more home builders and consolidating the industry.
As the industry consolidated, big home builders gained more control over how many homes get built. On Wall Street, they call that discipline.
Discipline returns with discipline. We exceeded
form
the highest
discipline
in a disciplined manner.
Disciplined and balanced.
DFW real estate agent Aaron Lehman has been seeing this firsthand.
We're looking at new builds, right?
New builds.
And so that's actually lower than it was in like even the late 70s.
Yep.
Why is that? Because it seems like there's even more people now.
Consolidation in the industry makes it more economically feasible for the builders to, you know, throttle production.
Instead of more houses being built, there's been less. And when I've been listening to some shareholder calls, they're using this word discipline a lot.
That's one way to phrase it. And that's sadly what we've done to the housing market is we've turned it into, you know, a plaything, a toy for wealthy people to, you know, use it as an investment tool.
A Johns Hopkins study estimated that homebuilder consolidation reduced housing production by roughly $106 billion a year between 2005 and 2016. One way they've been able to slow down home production is by sitting on vast tracts of land. This piece of land is owned by Forestar, which is a majority-owned subsidiary of D.R. Horton. Through Forestar, D.R. Horton is able to control hundreds of thousands of lots that most other builders can't build on, which, again, is leading to less homes being built. Right now, our housing policies are structured so that the home is less of a place to live and more of a cash-flowing asset for Wall Street. So how do we get out of this mess?
The good news is it's not an unsolvable problem. We do have solutions. We just need political leaders with the will to see them through.
To keep us from entering a society of perma-renters handing our checks over to private equity landlords, we need to get Wall Street out of owning single-family homes. Another solution would be to create better loans for small builders to make the market more competitive. Next, builders like D.R. Horton need to get back to just being builders, not mortgage lenders, land hoarders, and landlords.
Before the 1980s, the basic philosophy of American economic policy was we wanted communities to be able to govern themselves, and we wanted people to own property so that they would have a stake in the society. As the industry became more subject to control by Wall Street investors, they put home ownership out of reach for lots of people. But the good news is we can fix it. We've fixed it before and we can do it again.
Thanks for watching, and don't forget to like and subscribe if you want more Perfect Union. If you have any story tips, you can send them to stories@perfectunion.us.